an old song, Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. And I was just singing that yesterday. It just kind of came up in my spirit. And I said, yes, I appreciate you. I love and adore you. You know, the whole little chorus and everything. And I was just kind of humming that. You know, I was not aware that I was singing it. And then I caught myself. Do you know that your spirit is very anxious to praise the Lord? Very, and I mean anxious, not wrought up, but excited. And you will find that you're praising the Lord or you're talking to God. This has happened in my house many times. This happens with DME a lot. He'll say, are you talking to me? And I go, no. He said, well, I heard you in here talking. I go, I know, but I'm not talking to you. It's okay. Or I'll start singing. And he goes, you know, are you calling me? Did you need me for something? I go, no, baby, I'm just singing. I think it's really cool when you catch yourself praising God. You don't realize you've been singing to him. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, because you're busy doing something else, but your spirit is so excited about the Lord. Your spirit doesn't wait for you to even initiate. It just begins to flow out of you, and you find that you're just praising God. I think that's just beautiful. Right now my Facebook is trying to reconnect. It just did. Glory to God. I hope it stays on. Thank you, Lord, for this day. You're so good. We appreciate you. We do. Everything that you've done, your plans are good. Everything about you, God, is just so good. I don't say that as something trite. I say it because it's the truth. You're good and you're only good. And I thank you, God, that we understand that. If it's good, it comes from you. If it's not, well, you didn't have anything to do with that. So God, help us get those things straight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. We have ears to hear this morning what you want to say. Hi, I'm Pastor Kathy Smith from Spirit of Truth Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. I got this from history.com. You know, we're celebrating Juneteenth. We're celebrating Father's Day. We're also celebrating, this makes 23 years that we have had this church. This is the 23rd. It actually began, isn't that awesome? Yes, 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 yes. It actually began on Father's Day. We didn't intend for it to be that. It just ended up being that. I don't know how to explain that any other way. We're supposed to, and we had some delays. We didn't have the flooring in time and some different things in the building that we were in originally. And so we kind of put it off a couple of weeks. And then without looking at the calendar, we thought, oh my goodness, we started on Father's Day. I think God did that. I think that was him. I really do. Because we'd been very diligent and I was good at painting. And we were always rolling and doing and had the kids helping me. Oh my gosh, it was a lot to do at where we were. But I want to talk to you this morning. Finally free. Finally free. Finally free. I got this from history.com, some of the things I'm going to give you this morning. And so hang in there with me. The Emancipation Proclamation was issued by Abraham Lincoln on January the 1st, 1863. Not all slaves were set free by that. Many were disappointed. Many were left out. It reads, all enslaved people in the states currently engaged in rebellion against the Union, quote, shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free. The slaves that were in the states that were rebelling against the Union were set free. But a lot of people don't know there were slaves in the North, but there were. They weren't set free by this. They were part of the Union. The ones that were part of the Union, that were not part of the rebellion, were not set free at that time. This applied only to enslaved people in the Confederacy and not to those in the border states that were loyal to the Union. It was presented mainly as a military measure initially, but was still considered a real shift in Lincoln's views on slavery. Now, Abraham Lincoln did not personally believe in slavery. quote, "If the Negro is a man, why then, my ancient faith tells me that all men are created equal and that there can be no moral right in connection with one man's making a slave of another." So he had a problem. But he said in a now famous speech that was in Peoria, Illinois, when he first stated that in 1854. But the problem for Lincoln was that he didn't believe the Constitution gave the federal government the power to abolish it in the states where it already existed, but only to prevent its establishment to new Western territories that would become states. So he had a real dilemma. He had a conflict in his spirit about what he thought was right and wrong, but then he was reading the Constitution, and as president, he was voted to uphold the Constitution. And they seemed to be in conflict to him at this time. And he says, "My paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and is not either to save or to destroy slavery." He wrote that in an editorial published in the Daily National Intelligencer in August of 1862. He says, "If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would also do that." He was concerned because we would no longer be the United States of America. He was concerned that the whole effort of the original forefathers was being thwarted, and our whole country was being divided, and it was. It was being ripped apart, and people were dying by the droves. And he just wanted this thing to end. One way or the other, this needs to end. He said, "It is my greatest and most enduring contribution," later he says this, "to the history of the war." And it was the Emancipation Proclamation. When he looked back, by the end of January 1865, both houses of Congress had passed the 13th Amendment, and it was ratified that December. Just freedom. Freedom. Free at last. Juneteenth is short for June the 19th. We know that. It marks the day when the federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas in 1865 to take control of the state and ensure that all enslaved people be freed. Because the troops' arrival came a full 2.5 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. These people didn't know they'd been set free. It was kept from them. You have to understand, most of them were not allowed to read. They were not allowed to learn or really be very educated. And they did that on purpose, so they could keep them in the dark about some things. So it was very cruel. No doubt some of them died during that 2.5 years. So the troops were sent to make sure that happened, because it hadn't happened. So that was the Emancipation Proclamation. So on June 17th, 2021, it officially became a federal holiday. And I think it is something to celebrate. Slavery is a horrible thing. Unfortunately, slavery exists today. It's cruel, it's oppressive, mentally, physically, and emotionally crippling. Slavery is there to cripple the human person, strip them of dignity, strip them of decency, just strip them of their creativity. This is what slavery does. It is demonic. It is demonic. There are religious systems that, in every sense of the word, make slaves of their wives. Slavery exists today in different forms. They don't call it slavery. They say, "She's my wife," but she's actually a slave. She's not allowed to be educated. She's not allowed to learn. She's not allowed to leave her home without a male escort everywhere she goes. She's not allowed to further her education. She's not allowed to do anything that he has just decided he didn't want her to do. He can beat her. He can do basically anything he wants to her, and there's no laws to stop him. That's slavery in every sense of the word, is it not? So they just put a different word on it, my wife. My wife, who is also my slave. Oh, and by the way, these are my three other wives. They're religious systems that keep people in slavery. They can, anyway, they're not free. They're not free. They're not free. It's a cruel, cruel, cruel plight that they have. But it goes on in the world. And it's protected under religious ideas. It just shows you how powerful religious ideas can be. Did you know you can be enslaved in your own mind? You can be enslaved about the way you interpret scriptures because something else was planted in your mind for so long, so long ago, you can't get past it. And so when you read a scripture, you read it the way it was first taught to you. The first few times you heard it, the first few times maybe somebody presented it to you, and maybe even a child's Bible story. Children's Bible stories are powerful. And they carry with it messages that if you're not careful, that child will leave with a sense of inferiority or shame even. We have to present the Bible stories in light of and make children understand, but it's not like that today. This was a custom. This was the way they did it. You have to explain some things to children, or they'll assume and take on some shame or guilt or an inferiority attitude toward themselves. If all you do is just read this without context, without explaining things. And I heard a lot of that when I was growing up because I was always in church. I was always in church. My mom was a great Sunday school teacher. She was the only great Sunday school teacher I ever had. The rest of them read the lessons that I had already read and looked up all my scriptures because I enjoyed the Bible. Isn't that amazing? I enjoyed the Bible as a kid. I enjoyed the lessons, learning them. But anyway, slavery exists today because of religious systems that impose things. They're functionally people living as slaves because of religious systems and because of their laws. There is a culture in the United States that's very sad to me. People who call themselves Christians early on, our ancestors, they call themselves Christians, but they own slaves, which means they did not understand redemption. You cannot possibly own another human being, deny them their talents, giftings, and abilities, and understand redemption or even what real Christianity is. I mean, how can you? How can you make a slave of someone else created in the image of God just like you? How can we decide that some people are worth something and some people are not? When we didn't create them, how would we know? And we put ourselves in a position of God somehow, that we just know these people are inferior. They're just destined. That's just their destiny. This is God that they're inferior. God doesn't make anything that's inferior. I got news. News flash. Everything God does is awesome, over the top, and excellent. So you demean God when you even have that attitude. That he creates lesser. Ugh. There are entire cultures that are enslaved. Communism is an enslavement of the people. You're a slave. If you live in a communist nation, it is slavery. How can you say something like that? You have no control over your real life. They decide. You take a test. Maybe you had a bad day. Maybe you're an absolute brilliant student. You were up late. Maybe had family conflict. You're upset. You go to take a test. You get to take it one time. You take the test. You didn't do well. You will never get to further your education. Now you'll be doing grunt work the rest of your life, but you're brilliant. And once they train you, you're not retrained. And you'll do that the rest of your life, whether you want to or not. The food you grow in your yard belongs to the government. They own you. They own everything. You own nothing. Nothing is really ever personally yours. You don't get to own your land. They'll rent a land. They'll rent some land to you, and you can put a house there. And after 50 years, it belongs to the government. It's not yours. We don't understand. There are literally systems, and there are people who think that's a good idea. But the people who live there, the common people, they don't think it's a good idea, but they're brainwashed. And there's certain nations where they're not allowed to get news outside of what everybody wants them to believe. And media is very good at that. They're very, very good at that. And what they're doing is they are forming groups of people to think that all, well, they all think the same. And this is what communism insists on. Your object, your goals, everything has to be the same. And of course, the people at the top, they have nice cars. They always do well. And then there's the rest of the people. Your loyalty cannot be questioned. Not only will you be punished, but your family will be punished. They punish your children. They'll torture your children. They sure will. It's one thing when you say, well, I'm just going to do it, you know, whatever. And then say, oh, and your kids too. We're going to cut off their little fingers too, or we're going to do this to them too. I'm serious. But see, that's what enslavement is. And freedom is valuable. Freedom is incredibly valuable. Oh my goodness, I would rather do with less and be free than to be promised something and know that's not going to be delivered. Because they're not going to deliver. It's not going to be that way. It never is. The people always come up short. Never forget that. Never sacrifice freedom. Never have a politician tell you they're going to give you something and it's going to be free. No, it always costs somebody something. There isn't anything free. There aren't any free government programs. They're all being paid for. If we understood redemption, we never would have had slavery. We never would have had this blight in our history. We know the slaves were not allowed to be educated. They didn't want them to know how to read. They didn't want them to know how to do anything other than the chores and things they were assigned. Some of them were allowed to do a certain amount of schooling so they could do some bookkeeping or something. If they were deemed worthy somehow of that. God's heart for humanity is described clearly in His Word, and it's very good. It's in Genesis. Adam and Eve were free agents. This is how they could even choose to sin. They had the choice. They were not in bondage. They didn't even know what such a thing was. They had no idea what fear was. And I'm telling you, freedom is worth celebrating. 4th of July, we'll celebrate freedom again. I mean, we need to celebrate freedom every time we get a chance to, for whoever got free. Because it's for freedom that Christ died. He himself was bound, was taken captive in prison and died on a cross and died a criminal's death so we could be free. So freedom's big. There's a freedom in Jesus that is free from vain, empty, religious works. All other religious systems, they worship. They have these things they do. They have a posturing for worship. They have things that are included in worship. But the one they're worshiping does not live in them. Christianity is the only form of worship where the object or the one you're worshiping also dwells inside of you. Nobody else can say that. Most all religions have come about because a person had some sort of vision, some sort of experience that nobody can verify. Nobody else was there and nobody else can verify that this is even true. They just took their word for it. And then they wrote all these things down. And then people have been doing it for years and years and years. They say, no, this is it. This is it. And yet we have Jesus, where historians saw and were there and recorded that He was alive and that He did do the things He did. You can't find His grave because it doesn't exist, because He's not there, because He's alive. Do you know no other religious belief system says their God died for them and is alive? See, what we have really isn't even religion. We have a life. Other people have religion. We have a life that we live. And it's the life of Christ. who comes to live in us. That's not the same thing as religion, where it's just something you do, but it's out there somewhere, and you're trying to attain to something. I'm not trying to attain to something. It was handed to me. By Jesus Christ, salvation is handed to you. You simply reach out and receive it and believe that it's for you. There's no other doctrinal system, nothing else that comes to that, that can even come close to that. You don't have to go through a person, another sinful person, to reach Jesus or to get to God. Jesus was the bridge. There's not another bridge. And we pray to God. We don't pray to idols. I don't pray to things that are sitting on some tabletop somewhere. It just sits there. You can tell a person made it. And every single person has sinned, the Bible says. There's none righteous, no, not one. So every person has sinned. But we were bound. We weren't free. Because when you, before Jesus, you just sin. It's just, you just keep sinning and sinning and sinning. You don't really feel convicted. There's nothing there to really convict you of sin. But it's like when Jesus comes in, you just don't want to do that anymore. You actually want to be more like Jesus. You want to change. You want your life to be different. You want to think like God. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. This is part of what happens when you're born again, when you're saved. There's no other religious system that even comes close to what I'm saying. And yet people are chasing that instead of Christianity. Why is that? Because Christians have not understood it. So it wasn't preached where people could understand it. It seemed unattainable. It seemed like something they couldn't do. I'm telling you, He empowers you to do it. He did it all. And in your own effort, no, you can't do it. But you're not here in your own effort. You're here and He's living through you. Jesus was the express image of God the Father. He's the express image of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. He sent me. It's almost like, in the natural, you say, well, he's got the likeness of his dad, maybe some son or something. Or she's a spitting image of her mother, the likeness. We were created in the likeness of God, the Bible says. We were created in the image, the likeness of God. See, and when you're born again, that's what's restored to you, is now you visit with God every day, anytime, day or night. And you cohabit with Him. And you enjoy the atmosphere of Him. The atmosphere of God Himself is amazingly wonderful. God is also an atmosphere. He is glory. And when you're pressing in close to God, you're pressing into the atmosphere, the glory that Adam and Eve were clothed with, walked in every single day. It's available. It's available. It's available. Ooh. You can make a religion of your denomination. You know, it's interesting. They had different people that didn't agree with people, even Paul's day, he wrote about it. But I believe God's heart was that there would be a bride. A bride. I don't think God was trying to have many wives. See? Y'all understand? And a man shall leave his father and be joined to his wife, not wives. So, That was significant, because Jesus did leave his father to come to be joined to his wife. But then historically we see that begin to change, and that's another thing people decided to do. She left her father and mother and went to where he was. Do you know that wasn't the way it was supposed to be? And Jesus is a picture of leaving his home to come here, to be with us, to help us. Look in 1 John. Not here. I'm going to look in 1 John chapter 4. We're a privileged people. If you know this Jesus I'm talking about today, you're a privileged person. What do I mean by privileged? It is you have something other people don't have that are around you every day. But they need what you have. They need to know him. It's not some religious list. You know, when I got saved, Jesus didn't say, here's the list of what you can do and what you can't do. He didn't say anything to me about that. I was just hungry to read the word and to know him. I wanted to know him as a person. I wanted to know, what does he like? Just like you do anybody. Don't you want to know what they like? Don't you want to know what they don't like? If you're getting to know someone, you begin to ask questions, right? You spend time with them, and as you spend time with them, you begin to learn what they like and what they don't like. You begin to know what kind of foods they like, what kind of car they like to drive, what kind of weather that they really like, all these different kind of things, where they really love to go on vacation. You begin to learn these things about people. God says, come and learn of me. Jesus said, come and learn of me, for I'm lowly. I'm lowly in heart. In other words, I'm humble. Come learn from me. What does that mean? Well, we can learn. Spend time with him. The more you spend time with him, the more you begin to see and learn who he is, who he really is, just like you do anybody else. If you actually want to get to know something about someone, maybe you'll read about them. Maybe you'll read about them. Maybe you'll call them up. Maybe you'll, you know, go out and have dinner or something. People you want to get to know, you figure out a way to get to know them if you want to really know them. We all figure it out. Look at this. I'm going to start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, our substitute. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, I wonder, how do you own slaves and do this? How are you a good spouse, but you don't do this? How are you a good marriage partner, but you won't do this? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. In other words, you know that he's there because his Spirit is bearing witness that he's there. You're having fellowship with God. You're having communion with God. You're talking with God. You're hearing God talk to you. Well, he does that because he's abiding in you. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. See, people needed to be saved. They needed to be saved out of the insanity of what this world offers. Because the devil will offer a lot of substitutions for Jesus. That's what religions are. They are substitutions for Jesus. There's something instead of Jesus, religions. All the religions of the world. And they all have some merit in that some of the things they're saying are right and they're good. And a lot of it is like something that Jesus would have you do. But Jesus never lives inside. So they can never do what the Holy Ghost will call on them to do. But we can. I'm telling you, being a Christian, there's a great advantage. I can hear God talk to me. They wish they could. They put these things in the shrine to this God that never really talks to them. It's really sad. And they go to a lot of trouble. Some of them are precious, precious people. And God loves them. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I mean, that I'm talking about somebody who actually believes. They believe Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And they have received that truth, him, into their lives. And because they've received that truth, they grow in truth and they want to know more truth. It would be almost like, I married D, but after that, I just didn't have much to do with him. This is what a lot of people do with salvation. They come, they say some prayer. And see, part of me questions, did they get saved? Because if you're born again, you become somebody you never were before, the Bible says. And I think there's a lot of false conversions in the church. I really do. I think there's false conversions. There are people, and they want to be good. They just don't want to go to hell or something. And so they've been, whatever they've been preached to about that. And so they come out of some sort of fear. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you came to God, did you see God as a rewarder? Do you see God as good, or did you come to God and you saw God as a dammer? You saw God ready with his fist to come down on you when you made a mistake. See, your viewpoint of God has everything to do with your relationship with God. God's not abusive. That's all I can tell you. I mean, Jesus laid it down over and over and over. And he never retaliated when people were horrible, horrible to him. He was accused of being a liar, you know, a thief, everything you can imagine. And he just didn't retaliate. He didn't do anything about it. What he did about it was he went to the cross. See, that's what he did about it. He went to the cross and he died for those people, for their sin, so that they could know him and they could change. This is the thing. I want to see people who come to the Lord and they change. They actually change. Instead of just being comfortable. Because most people want to live their life the way they pretty much always have. They don't like it. They're miserable. They complain about it. But they continue to live their life basically the way they always do. And they're wondering, well, where's God? He's right where you left him. Right wherever you left him. He's right there in your consciousness. Whenever you come to God, and if you stay with him, you know, because he's not leaving. He's just right there waiting on you to come to want to engage and have conversation. Remember, God's very personable. He's not some God in the cosmos just kind of folding his arms saying, I wonder what they did today. He's loving. He's kind. He's a good papa. He's a wonderful parent. He's a wonderful parent. And men and women can have a lot of the exact same characteristics because of God. If you're a man, you can be tender and compassionate. Those are not just female traits. We assign these to people. I don't know who decides this stuff. But I see Jael, who picked up a tent peg and drove it through somebody's temple in the Bible, which means she was strong as a pack mule. That wasn't the first time she'd ever done it, if you knew how big those tent stakes were that they used. You know, but we're trying to take spiritual concepts and make them all just physical things. Good luck. It won't happen. It doesn't happen. God's calls himself the breasted one. He's trying to relate to us and say, I'm warm, I'm tender, I'm also the righteous judge. I'm also God of all the earth. See, these different characteristics. This is what it says. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Then he says this in verse 18. There's no fear in love. I hope you heard that. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Your love for God, your belief in God is there that when fear comes to you, you cast fear out because you know your God and you know He is love. You know that He's not behind any crummy thing that happened to you. It wasn't Him. He didn't instigate it. He's not behind it. He's not for it. He's the healer. He's the redeemer. He's the perfecter. He is the one who comes with the healing balm of Gilead. He's the bright morning star. Oh my goodness. He is our love. He is our hope. He is Prince of Peace. He doesn't come to you with fear. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to live in peace. He's Prince of Peace. He said, my peace I give to you. When you receive Jesus, you receive His peace. His peace. He said, my peace I give to you. It is not of this world. It's not the kind of peace where you just kind of, it's not that. It is a peace because there's an assurance that God keeps His promises. His promises are yes, they are amen. That God keeps His word, that He is a God of promise, and He's a God of love, and that His plan for you is good. You have to have confidence that God's plan for you is good. You have to believe that. Some days you'll have to stand on that when some other voice is trying to tell you something else. Because there are voices that will come to tell you something else. But perfect love will cast that fear out. Perfect love cast out fear. Fear not, for I am with you. My rod, my staff, they comfort you. God is the comforter. So that's another typically female trait. God is comforter. He's whatever you need. God is whatever you need at the moment you need it. He is that. He is your shield. He is your buckler. He's your shield. He's your rear guard. He'll hedge you in. He's what do you need? Well, God says, I'm it. I am your everything. I'm your all in all. I am your everything. Ooh. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Living a Jesus life is not about rituals. I'm not saying that you won't have any. I'm saying, but it's not about that. People in prison, some of them haven't taken communion in years. Does that mean they're all going to hell? No. I mean, if you go to, you're locked up in some of these other countries and you're in prison, they're not going to serve you communion. Well, so what if that's part of your religious thing? You have to have communion or you're going to go to hell. You understand what I'm saying? That's a religious mindset. And you think that way because you were taught that in a place called America where you don't even ever have to deal with the fact that people are locked up someplace in prisons like what I'm talking about where there's no potty even in the prison. It's just a hole in the floor. But that's your prison cell that you share with seven other people. We have no idea what the conditions are other people are dealing with who love Jesus. And I'm here to tell you they're freer than most people walking the streets today in America. They are free. They're still praising God. They've been beaten. Their arms have been broken. And they praise God. I'm telling you there's something about people who really get a revelation of Jesus that's unlike anything you'll ever have. And the worse it is, it's like His presence it just gets thicker and thicker and thicker. They lead the prison guards to the Lord. They get beaten first, but because they're so sweet about it, and they say, you know, God loves you. Who really does? And there's blood dripping everywhere. You don't even know if you still have teeth in your mouth or not. And these people, you know, God loves you. God, He died for you. You're precious to God. and they get so mad they just smack again. But they end up getting saved. A lot of them get saved, they do. And some people, they die in those prisons, they do. Not everybody gets out. But boy, what they go to is pretty awesome. Can you imagine their reward? Can you imagine the rewards? The martyrs, the rewards are huge. They literally gave everything they had. Everything they had. You know, it's so easy to be in America and we give a little, we think we've done so much. We've just worked so hard, we've just done so much. Until you hang around with some people who lay down their lives. But you know, that's what God called on us to do. Lay down our lives. Why? Because He laid down His for us. He said, it's my life. I can lay it down. I can take it up again. He was resurrected. One day we'll be resurrected. I'm talking to you today about real freedom. Finally free. I mean, finally free. Finally free in your own mind from mindsets that have crippled you since childhood. And you just keep believing that about yourself instead of what God said. At what point do you say, I'm not going there anymore? It's a place in your mind, and you can go to it if you want to. It's kind of like the house of horrors. Why go there? When you can go into the arms of a loving God who says, I love you, and I gave you my whole life. I bled for you. I died for you. And I have already provided a place for you so that when you leave this planet and you transition, I've got an awesome place for you to live because I've been thinking about you. That's a lot of love. You know, there used to be some old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. I think that's what a lot of people are doing. And love is so big. I mean, God, it's almost like He's screaming, the heavens scream, His creativity, the magnitude of who He is. You look at the stars. You know, you have to, some, they didn't just hop up there and say, I think I'll be a star. And just hop up there. No, something comes from something. And everything came from the power of His word, the Bible says. Everything was created. You are a result of the power of His word. Not just, the Bible says, who were born not by the will of man, but by the will of God. That to be born again, you're born by the will of God. And I believe every child that's created, that's the will of God. And I believe every child that's deformed, that was Satan, even in the womb. I do. Because that's a physical human being. It's a physical human being. And he has access to human beings. This is why we've got to have the power of God working in us and in our life. And you have to have your theology correct. That if it's bad, yucky, whatever, God didn't do it. You don't have to understand everything. You just need to know He didn't do it. Because if you accept or begin to toy with the idea that He did, you're in trouble. You're not going to believe His promises. Because you don't trust this God. Because you decided instead of what His word said about Him. See? Finally free. Are we finally free? Are we able to look at people through the eyes of Genesis 1 and 2? A, you have to forgive anybody that's a human being. You have to forgive them. There's no exceptions. There's really no exceptions. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean you have to have tea with them or every Tuesday have coffee with them. You may be incompatible in terms of personality, but you have to forgive them to where you can hug their neck and you don't cringe anymore. And if you can't do that, you have not forgiven them yet. And when you forgive them, you need to understand, see, you look at things on a higher level. It's not what they did to you. See, you're in unforgiveness because you feel like they've done something to you. Everybody does something to somebody. You have too. At some point, maybe you didn't even mean to. Maybe they just took it wrong. You don't know. I don't know. But people get offended. God says he wants us to learn to live and love with people, not just love God. How can you fully love God but you don't love any of his people? Come on. That are created in his image that he died for. In other words, is it just always our priority, or can we get over into God's priority and his love for people? See, because when we're able to forgive, then we actually are looking at those people through the eyes of God for the first time. That's a person struggling, going through their own stuff and stuff they don't understand. I'm going to forgive them. I got hurt. I don't know if they meant to hurt me or not. It matters not. It doesn't matter. Hurting people hurt people. They just do. They just do. And if you're around hurting people, they're gonna lash out. They're gonna be, yeah, you're gonna experience that. But that's that. You don't make that your focus. That's not what you're doing. You know that God's the healer, and you want that person to be restored enough to where you are willing to deal with a lot of that stuff, because you know they're in the process of being healed. Because what they needed was unconditional love. Unconditional love. I think of Apostle Paul. He was very free while he was in prison. Have you noticed? He wrote the most encouraging letters from prison cells. He was locked up. He had been beaten. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He had so many scars. I cannot imagine how many scars Apostle Paul had on his body, on his face, all over him, from just how many times he was beaten. And I'm not talking about, I can't even go into it. He was just a mass of blood over and over and over. And yet he was free. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself in. Wow. I'm not quite there. But boy, I aspire to that. Wherever I would find myself, I would be thankful. That wherever I might find myself, whatever station, whatever anything that would happen, that I could move over into that. I could think that way. Do you know, as Christians, this is what we're supposed to do? This is how we're supposed to think? Real freedom. I'm talking about real freedom. Real freedom is from the inside out. It's not somebody telling you you're free. No, Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. Your spirit's free. Nobody can ever keep you from praying in school. It's in your head. I pray all the time. You can pray walking up and down the hall. What they're saying is a religious setting where everybody bows their head and they have this real formal thing called prayer. If you're a Christian, nobody can ever keep you from praying. Don't try to fight that battle. Be a Christian. Go ahead and pray and love people and share the gospel. That's our job. That's our mission. Not to get on some political whatever bandwagon. It's a dead-end street. I'm telling you, it's a dead-end street. Apostle Paul was totally free while he was in prison cells. He wrote some of the most incredibly inspiring letters from prison. While he is pretty much still what you call maybe licking his wounds, so to speak. See, the cry of freedom is answered in Jesus Christ alone. Real freedom. I'm glad we had a day to celebrate freedom. And I'm glad we have a day to celebrate fathers and stepdads. Some stepdads are awesome. They step in and they do all kind of things. They pay for stuff. They're working. They provide things. And they do a lot. There's just a lot. It's a lot. And there's a lot of unrealistic expectations of men. I think there really are. And I think a lot of men are crying on the inside. They're miserable and they're crying. But they can't, because if you're a man, you can't cry. You can't do this. It's kind of like, who told you that? And why do you believe them? Oh, toughen up, toughen up. See, our culture has made it hard for people to relate to other people. Women say, oh, I don't know. That's us women. I don't want the men. Why? What's hard? Why can't men relate to women? Why can't women relate to men? Why? What's wrong? Oh, that's right. Your thoughts. That's what you were told. God said love people, period. If you're a people. I love that. Sam says, I'm a people. I know you are, Sam. He's a people, all right. You love people. He didn't say, now, if they're this or if they're that, but now if they're kind of this, well, I don't know about them. I won't love. No, people. People. You love people. And we're here to serve. We're here to help people. Jesus helped people without ever compromising truth. And that's what we do. Y'all stand up. My question for us today is, are you free? Are you really free? Are you free from fear? Are you free from just religious things that you feel like you are supposed to do, you're obligated to do, you have to do? On the list, your to-do list of what it is to be a Christian. Or does Jesus have your heart? Does Jesus really have our heart? Because if he really is the all in all to us, then we would rather suffer a wrong than be unkind to another human being. Say, Jesus suffered wrong at the hands of sinners. He wasn't petty, and he wasn't so attached to the things of this world. If you look at everything and like the economy and dollars and cents and all that, you're going to be petty because you're living your life out of the wrong standard. Jesus didn't look like he was all that. Financially, I don't know, when he went in the wilderness, it doesn't say he took a suitcase and that he had an electric razor or anything. See, he got hot and stinky like everybody else. He would just disappear. It was more important to him to be alone with God than to check into the really fancy inn. They would have found him there anyway. He wouldn't have had any rest ever. But what I'm saying is, God says, since I'm God and you're my children, and I've already told you, your life here is very temporary. We are sojourners. Our life here, if you live to be 159, is still very, very temporary in terms of eternity. Work while it's day. What is he saying? Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do, and even greater works you will do, because I go to my Father. And remember, Peter later, after he repented, and after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and he had told them, you go, preach this message, this gospel, and do the things I've told you to do. He commanded them to do. And people began to be healed by Peter's shadow. I think that's a greater work. He didn't have to speak a word or lay hands on them. Just the shadow of him walking by. A handkerchief. Paul praying over a handkerchief. You send it. People get healed. Actually, Noah, I have a friend of mine who was healed of tuberculosis because somebody prayed over a handkerchief. And when she was a little girl and she was dying of tuberculosis, they put that on her. She's 85 now, by the way. She's 85. And she was about 7 years old when that happened. But there were some people who believed in the greater works. Do we believe in the greater works? Are we waiting? Are we waiting to see them and then we'll believe? Or do we believe in the greater works, but because we believe in the greater works, now we get to see them? Right? Finally free. See, if you can get free in your head, you'll never be in bondage. You can't be in bondage and be really free in your head. You can't. They can lock you up, but they can't keep you from praying. Don't be intimidated by what the media says or anything else. Just I pray all the time. I always have. And in school, when I got my report card, I'd pray all the way home. Sometimes. As soon as I got it, sometimes. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's like, no, there'll always be kids praying. Don't worry about it. You teach them, you train them in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. And even if they do stray, they'll come back. Because there's something about Jesus coming inside. Because he won't leave. He'll never leave. And he'll always be drawing that child tenderly, lovingly, day by day. And he'll send people like you and me to talk to him and show him, what is Jesus like? They want to see, what is he like? Where are the people that are like him, though? Where are they? Will you do everything perfect? No, I don't. Do I want to? Yes. Yes, I want to get better at it. And when I falter, I say, God, I didn't do that very well. Please help me. Show me. Yeah, right. Is that you today? Is that you today? I'm talking about the Jesus life. I'm not talking about religious ideations and pie in the sky. I'm talking about a real God who came to indwell us. And he's here to help you with your life if you will let him. If you have somebody you need to forgive, forgive them right now. Just make a decision. Say, I'm going to do this once and for all. I'm laying this mess to rest. Because you keep picking it back up. You don't even realize you're picking it up. But you do. You're picking it up. You pick it up. Yeah, but it was just yesterday. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did. Right. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's just the decision. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to get better at the way I respond. I'm going to. See, there's things we have to conquer within us. But God's given you the power to conquer it. And so when you meet that person, God says, don't want you to go out and hug them. It's the last thing you wanted to do. Will you obey him? Is he God or not? See, when we won't obey, we decided he's not God. At that moment, we become God again. We are. And then we wonder, well, why do I have this? Why is this going on? What? Yeah, because it's our thinking. It's just our thinking. That's all it is. I mean, that can be corrected, right? We can correct the way we think. Sure we can. Sure we can. And you can learn a foreign language when you're older. I'm just putting that in. You can think. You can change. You can change your mind about all kind of things. You can decide all kind of things. And nobody can decide for you but you. Nobody has the power to do it. Even God won't decide for you. He will not do it. He will not make you forgive. He will not force you to come to him. He won't force you to love people. He won't force you to be willing to get a little sweaty sometimes when you don't want to be hot to help somebody. That's what showers are for. Okay, you got hot. Go take a bath when you're done. It's not like there's nothing you can do. We're so spoiled in America. We're so spoiled, y'all. And I'm saying we. We. But I made up my mind. I'm not going to not do something because it's a little inconvenient. It was inconvenient for Jesus to lay down on that wood and let them hammer him to that wood. See, perspective, right? Lord, we love you today. We're your people. We want to be more and more like you because you're so wonderful. Finally free. God, we're free when we come to you. We're free in the way we think. We're free in the way we respond. We have choices. People who are slaves don't have choices. Oh, but God, you never took that away. You wanted us to love you. We just love you back because you loved us first. You loved us when we didn't love you. You loved us when we were a mess, when we were thumbing our nose at you, God. You loved us and you pursued us and you drew us. Oh, your goodness just won us over. When we saw how good you are, how loving you are, how kind you are, we just couldn't resist anymore. God, help us to be more like you so that people can't resist you, so that people will come to you. They need you. But oh, how people need you. Jesus, Jesus. People need you. They need to know you so much. You're so wonderful. We honor you today. We honor you. You truly are King. You are King, and we honor you. We are finally free. We're free inside. We're free inside. Oh, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know this Jesus today, you can just bow your head right where you are. And it's just a matter of you believing. Do you believe what I've been saying is true? You just say, God, I believe that. I believe what that woman has said is true. I believe that. It's just so simple. And I do. I want you, Jesus. Will you please come in? Will you please come into my life? I'm giving you my life. I believe you. I believe you're the Son of God. So help me. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. I believe I can have a new life in you. And I'm gonna give you my life right now. I'm doing that. And I'm going to learn who you are because I want to be Jesus like you. As much as anything I ever wanted, I want to be like you because you're so wonderful. And I want to live my life to please you instead of just me. In Jesus' name. I love y'all. Mere troso me ne sanat. Ore troso mo treva fun sporo braf tores pota. Troso treva pota. God says there are times when things are hard. There are times in life where things are they're just hard. They just feel hard. They seem hard. Jesus said, I understand. I went through that too. Some things for Jesus felt really hard. You know, like everything doesn't always seem the same. Like there's some days you kind of rock along and then you have several days. It just, like everything just seems really hard. Like, God, this that you're asking me to do, God, this feels really hard. Jesus' solution was he prayed more. He took it to God and he prayed. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? When he was fixing the deal, I mean the biggie. The big, big, hard, hard, hard. He thought, I've got to get in there and be with God more so I can get through this in victory. What a lot of times I see with people is when things seem hard, they're not pressing into God as much. They do other things. It says, well, it feels hard, so I just can't do this. It's kind of like, but with God, I can do everything. He says, he strengthens me. And they forget those verses. See, this is why the Word of God is so important, because the Word of God will come and remind you who you are and who God is. We forget who he is. We forget who God is. And that he'll come and he'll strengthen you when things feel really, really hard. Don't run. That's not the time when you bail. That's the time when you press in because you want to prevail. Victory. Victory, victory. It's there. Some things are going to seem really hard. You're not going to understand everything. There's some things that are going to happen and you're going to be very disappointed. You just need to know right now, you're not going to understand everything. God never promised you that you would, and he has not provided that. So that is a rabbit trail you'll go down your whole life. Well, I just want to know why. Well, God does not owe you an explanation in the first place. He's God and you're not. And he's already said you're going to have some tribulations in this life. And then he said, but you be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I don't know what we're going to be facing individually, corporately, America. I don't know what we're going to be facing. I know who I'm going to face it with. That's more important to me. Not what's going to happen, but who's with me. Who's with me? If God be for me, who can be against me? That's my attitude. So you've got to have the mindset of an overcomer. Get your buckler and shield up. You have angels. You have ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. I have angels with me everywhere I go. They like my bike. See? Don't let fear grip your heart. God's got something he wants you to do. Don't let fear come in and tell you you can't do it. Don't let fear tell you who you are or what you can do. And don't let fear tell you who your God is. He's who he said he was, and nothing less. Y'all are precious. I want to wish all the fathers again, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. We honor you. I honor people that are raising kids. Mercy, it's a job. And grandkids, it never ends. You know, you got your kids, grandkids, and we got stepdad stepping in to pick up the slack, and all kinds of things are going on. Love your families. Never make your family think just like you do before you'll love them. Never do that. Never, ever. Jesus didn't do it. He didn't require everybody think like him and then he would accept them. We have to be like Jesus. And if your kids marry somebody you didn't want them to marry, or that wouldn't have been your pick, you just love them and love them and love them and pray over them like they're the most wonderful thing in the world. And you watch God do a work. Watch God do a work. And sometimes they've been sent for that very purpose, so they would know Jesus. See, God sends people in our lives, right in our own family, because I want this person saved. They don't know anything. They didn't grow up. They don't understand squat. Their life's been a mess. They're a mess most of the time. I need you to love them. Will you do it? You know, I say yes. I say yes. And they all feel welcome in our home. Don't make people have to think like you before you'll love them. Don't do that. That's a mistake. I don't know. I just feel to say that. I don't know. I don't know who all that is or what's going on with everybody, but I know that's God's heart, because that's Jesus. He loved everybody. He loved the people that even were mistreating him. Remember, he prayed for the people as they were crucifying him. That's a lot of love. We have a ways to go, don't we? We have a ways to go. I'd be scared. Ah! Yeah. But he was praying. Instead of screaming at him, he prayed. Yeah. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus on the planet. This is God's heart for us. We all have a wonderful day. And celebrate freedom all day. Celebrate your freedom in Jesus every chance you get. Yeah. And today's Mission Sunday, don't forget. Today's Mission Sunday. And boy, I love giving to missions. And I've gotten several. They're in the office, but there's no air in there. I forgot. I didn't go get them. But anyway, I've gotten a couple of cards from Dr. LaDonna about how on the page we are with missions. And she is so pleased, because I know that I know that woman. I'm telling you, she never stops. And I never have to worry about where that money's going. I mean, that sewing machine money, it went for sewing machines. She designated it had to go. That's what it went for. And whatever we say we want it to be for, she makes sure that's what it's for. And when we sent the thing for your Ukraine member, they sent a picture to her. She said, can you give me a picture of something? I want to let people know that here's their food. This is what we did with the money. So I love that about her. She's really too busy to do that all the time, but she did it. She likes for people to know. And she's very, very good at that. Very good at that. So y'all be sure to give today to missions, so we can help these ladies of the night have a quality life, be able to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I love the idea they're getting to learn to read and write and own their own businesses and things that seem so impossible to them at some point in their life. That, do you understand, this is like a dream they never even dared to dream, and yet they're living it. I love being part of stuff like that. Yeah, beaten down. People just beaten down by life. Nothing. Just beaten down. And no way to make a living. And just when Jesus comes in, he provides everything. This is what he does. Came in with the good news, the gospel. Well, the gospel comes in to help people, though, too. It takes money to help people. I'm telling y'all straight up. My personal experience is it takes a lot of money to help people. So... And when you give here, We use it to help people. That's what we do. Amen. I love y'all very much. Y'all have a great day. And please pray for Pastor D. His fever spiked up again last night. So, yeah, like 102 something, you know, and it was down to 98 when I got home yesterday. And then I said, well, the devil's messing with you. He said, it's done. I feel good. I'm 98.4. And then, boom, there it is again. So the devil's, he's messing with us. What you got, Sammy? Wait, let me do, say this because Chris and Bonnie can't hear if you don't. Yeah.
I actually experienced from a church where they actually made a little prayer cloths. And I'm a witness to that they do work. And I just have a suggestion. Maybe we might ought to make a prayer cloth for Pastor D. Everybody pray over it. I think it's powerful. I really do.
They do. They work. They work. And it's the faith. It's the faith. I don't know. The closest thing to have a prayer cloth is a tissue. What am I looking for? I don't have any tissues up here. I just need a... Yeah. Just get, and just